Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, hello there, Patrick Madrid reporting for duty. Thank you for listening. And when I say thank you for listening, I mean it. I really appreciate the fact that you listen for however much time you can devote to this program. I only ask of you 3 hours a day. That's all I ask. 3 hours out of your 24. That's all I ask. I don't think it's too much to ask. But for whatever amount of time you spend with me, I really do thank you. I have a request for you also.
We replay the show in the afternoon, so 6 hours of every 24 hours.
Good point.
Because when you listen to it the second, it's like watching a great movie. You get so much more the second time through.
Good. I stand corrected. Good point, Cyrus. Should we count the replay as extra credit? Or, I mean, so like the required listening is 3 hours a day. And you get extra credit if you listen again?
I'm not ready to comment. I think I need to think about, I need to sleep on that. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, stay awake for the show. I mean, don't sleep on it yet. Save that for tonight.
I do like it when people call and they're like, yeah, I like to listen to your show as I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. I hear that a lot, actually. I heard from a mom just in the last week or two. She said, or was it more recently than that? She said that her kids like to I know where it was. It was at the Christmas party. That's where it was. And one of our friends, who I don't think works for the network, but in any case, she said, my kids like listening to your show at night when they get ready to go to sleep, and it helps them go to sleep. And we all got a good laugh at it. She didn't mean it that way.
It's a compliment, but
it was a compliment.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I hear people say, back in the day when I used to do a lot of traveling, which I don't do anymore, I would hear people say, I love to listen to the show when I need to go to sleep. And I would joke with them. So you mean the show puts you to sleep? Yeah, kind of it does, but it's a nice way to go to sleep. So there's that. How are you, Cyrus? You look well.
I'm doing well. You know, it's also a nice way to start your day as you're driving off to work.
You're trying to get the attention off of you.
I am, yes.
I know what you just did.
Why did I say that? Oh, yeah. Stupid Cyrus.
Go ahead. You were starting to say something.
No, I'm not saying anything.
No.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show. People want to hear your voice.
All right. I've got an email that came in, and I may need your help on this one. Short and sweet, the best kind of email. This is from Lenore, who's listening in Los Angeles on our 9:30 a.m. 93 KHJ station. And Lenore says, 93 KHJ. Yeah, I can't hit that high note. That is part of the soundtrack of my boyhood, growing up in Southern California. And that was the oldies station back then. And of course, oldies was music that had come out 15 years earlier. Can't believe some of the stuff that I listen to now came out 50, 60 years ago. Anyway, anywho, Lenore, listening on 93KHJ in Los Angeles, she is asking, she says, hi, I'm a devoted listener of your show. I love it. I think it was Tuesday, that would have been yesterday, that you and Cyrus were talking about the dramatic increase in sudden deaths among healthy, fit young adults with a possible connection to the COVID-19 vaccine and boosters. Do you happen to know which hour that was in and about how many minutes in, please? And I'm blanking on that. Do you know offhand, Cyrus?
I think that
she wants to go back and listen to
it. That was in the second, early in the second hour.
Early in the second hour. Yeah,
off of memory, which is suspect.
Yeah.
But if you check out the show notes, it should be in there.
Okay, so that's actually a good reminder. So let me walk you through it, Lenore. Here's how you can find anything that we've talked about on the program. Go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. In the search bar, and by the way, you have to put the /Patrick on it to be able to search this show. So you'll see a search, you know, not a looking glass, a magnifying glass, the typical search icon. And then put in there the topic. So sudden death. Let's do that. Let's experiment. Let me try that.
Now I'm nervous that I didn't put it
death.
In the show notes.
I hope you did. We don't want to disappoint Lenore now, do we?
No, we do not.
Okay, the last one that I see sudden death is November 16th, 2021.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not it. So another way to do it, since that failed, another way to do it is to go to the shows itself, go to the page where the show is, and then look at yesterday's show and look at hour two, and open up the show notes, and you should see it right there. Easy peasy. So that's how you do it, Lenora. Thank you for that. 888-914-9149. This email came in from Sharon, who's listening in Minneapolis. And she says, "Hi, Patrick. Everywhere I turn, I read or hear that we should listen to God's voice. But no matter how I pray, I just never hear him. I often ask, even beg in my prayers, to please help me to hear him or show me how to pray so that I can." How beautiful. "I often feel so let down because of this and even desperate at times. How can someone hear God's voice? What advice do you have? How have you heard him? Thank you for your answer." What a beautiful email. What a beautiful way of approaching God this way, right? I'm thinking, Sharon, as I read your email the first time, about what Jesus says. Ask, seek, knock. And the acronym for that is ASK. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And that sounds like that's just what you're doing. So my first bit of advice would be, just be persistent in your prayer. Lord, I want to hear your voice. And you will, in time, hear his voice. Now, that leads me to the second thought that I had, and that is, it's not typical, in fact, I would say it's very rare, that you would ever actually hear a voice. Like, you hear my voice right now, in auditory phenomenon, you're not likely, if ever, to hear God's voice that way. I have never heard God's voice that way. I've had moments of intuition where I've thought, maybe that's God telling me something. Could have been my guardian angel, perhaps. But I've never heard God speak to me in the way that I'm wondering if that might be what you're thinking about. So don't be disappointed, is my point here. If you, in your desire to grow closer to the Lord, your desire to hear his voice when he speaks to you, don't be discouraged or disappointed if, when he does speak to you, it's not in that manner, because it's not typical. Some of the great saints, they achieved levels of sanctity, and God graciously favored them with phenomena like that, but it's not typical. So the third thing is, how do you know when God is speaking? Well, you asked me in my own experience, and not that it matters all that much, but since you asked me, my personal experience is in trying to determine what God may be saying to me about, let's say, you know, something career-wise, or a big decision to buy something or not buy it, to move, for example. And those kind of things don't happen very often. But as I look back on my own life, my way of trying to discern this was to say, Lord, I want to do this. I think I should do this. Nancy and I have agreed that we should do this, but we don't want to do it if it's not something that you want us to do. So please, Lord, show us. If this is okay with you, if it's not okay with you, please show us. And then what would happen is, once I would make that request in prayer, and then I would start going in the direction of what it was I thought we should do. And for me, it was always the form of, if the doors opened, I would walk through the door. And if the next door opened, I'd walk through that door. And if the next door opened, I'd walk through that door. Sometimes that would happen, and to me, that was always a confirmation that this seems to be God's will, or at least he's permitting this. But there were times when doors would close, and I would try and push on that door, and it wouldn't open. And so for me, that was a way of saying, all right, Lord, if the door is closing and I can't open it, I'm going to assume that's your way of saying, no, don't go in that direction. Now, honestly, in my own life, I really honestly don't remember hearing God speaking in the moment as much as, more often than not, I could perceive it in the rearview mirror. What I mean is, later in life, I would look back and I'd say, oh, that's why this happened, or that's why that happened. Let me give you an example. Talk about doors opening. and talking about listening to God, I'm on the radio every day, and I pinch myself literally and figuratively every day because I still can't quite believe that I have been given this wonderful blessing of being able to be with you every day for 3 hours. It's just mind-boggling to me to have this opportunity to speak to the whole country all at once. And then some too, because, you know, we have the Relevant Radio app all over the world. So there are people in Ireland. Shout out to Ireland. In the Philippines and in Tierra del Fuego. I know of at least one listener that we have in Ushuaia, which is about the furthest part south you can go before you hit the open waters and then you're in Antarctica. We have a listener, at least one of them down there too, and all over the world. So I still pinch myself when I think about the singular blessing that very few people have an opportunity to do, and I get this opportunity to do it. I can't believe it. And I love it, and I'm grateful for it. But here's an example of what I'm talking about. I didn't plan to do this with my life. I didn't, when I was a young man, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I was married by the time I was 20, got married. Let's see, I turned 20 November 8th, 1980, and I was a married man on February 7th, 1981. So only a couple of months had passed, 2-3 months. So I was married. I knew that that's what I was going to do with my life, spend the rest of my life with Nancy. And we started having children right away, so I knew that was going to be part of my life. So that wasn't in question. But the question was, what am I going to do with my life? I mean, what will my career be? How will I feed my family? Will I sell life insurance? Will I teach high school English? Will I be a truck driver? What will I do? I didn't know. And I really didn't have any strong feelings about what I wanted to do. I mean, yeah, I wanted to be in Beatlemania and be, you know, the Paul McCartney lookalike. And that, of course, was a pipe dream, never going to happen. So I went through a bit of that. But for real, like, what was I going to do with my life? I just didn't know. So I want to share with you some examples of where God was speaking to me. And I didn't recognize it in the moment, but I saw it later big time. You ready for this, Cyrus? I don't think you know some of these stories.
I am all ears.
And I just marvel at this. So I was working at a, I was working in a financial institution selling, preparing to take my, I think it was a Series 6 or Series 7 license exam to sell securities. And in the meantime, I was selling CDs and other non-license required products for this organization. And I was doing well and, you know, enjoying it, but not thinking it was something I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I had a, what I would call kind of reversion experience. I never left the Catholic Church. I've never been tempted to leave the Catholic Church. I'm born into a Catholic family. I became a Catholic when I was two weeks old and never looked back, never will look back. I love the Catholic faith and I praise God for the gift of my Catholic faith. But you know, when you're a young man and you go through maybe some lukewarmness or what have you, I had this more or less about a year-long experience of feeling a deep need to be all in, to be a committed Catholic, no game playing, no compartmentalizing or any of the things that all of us are good at doing. And so that culminated with, on my lunch hour, I would go for roughly about a month or so, I would go to a nearby Catholic parish and I would make a visit before the Blessed Sacrament. I'd pray the rosary. I'd ask the Lord, show me what you want me to do, Lord. I don't know what you want me to do, but I want to do what you want me to do. I just don't know what it is. And about a month or so went by and nothing. I didn't hear any audible voice, like Sharon, like you're asking. I didn't hear anything. I didn't get the sense that even that my prayers were even being heard. I really didn't know why I wasn't getting any clear message from God, because I was asking him in all faith and humility. So this went on for about a month. So I didn't know what to do. So one day I got this idea in my mind that I needed to give my 2 weeks notice for this position I was in and doing well enough that I could pay the mortgage and the car payment and feed the kids. So it wasn't as though we were floundering, but I just decided on a whim, it seemed to me, to put in my 2 weeks notice. And I remember my boss saying, why are you quitting? I mean, you've got a bright career ahead of you. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I just don't feel as though this is what I'm meant to do. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. So that was Friday. I went home, told Nancy. She was very calm about it. And she knew that I was going through this sort of turmoil and asking God what I should do. And so she was aware of that. But she was very calm and supportive when I told her, well, honey, I've given my 2 weeks' notice. Really, what are you going to do next? I don't know. So, and that'll probably come up in her cause for canonization when she's named a saint because of her heroic patience with me. So that was Friday. The next morning, I get a phone call from a guy that I knew. I didn't know him like in person. I had talked to him on the phone a bunch of times, and he was very interested in apologetics, and he was doing apologetics kind of as a hobby. He was a lawyer doing apologetics on the side and doing far more in that field than I had ever done. I was just sort of an amateur student of apologetics, and I really enjoyed it, and I'd written a few articles, but nothing to speak of, really. So he and I were simpatico, and we would talk from time to time. Well, he calls me up that morning, Saturday morning. Yeah, 10 in the morning, something like that. Hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm fine. What's new? Well, you know, as a matter of fact, what's new is I've decided that God is calling me to go do something. I just don't know what it is. So I quit my job. I'd really appreciate it, I said, if you would pray for me so I can find out what God wants me to do with my life. And he said, oh, okay, sure, I can pray for you, but I've got something even better than that. Really? He said, I just decided, you know, definitively, in the last, you know, recent days or weeks, I'm going to close down my law office, stop practicing the law, and I'm going to open a full-time Catholic apologetics organization. And since you're not going to have a job in 2 weeks, why don't you come work with me? I'll hire you. And I was like, thank you, but no. And I said, whatever, I mean, apologetics, come on. I like it, it's fun, but I can't imagine that that's what God would want me to do for the rest of my life. And so I turned him down. And I was, you know, thick-headed, thick-skulled, turned him down. And my wife reminded me, well, don't forget, we have to eat and the car payment has to be made, et cetera, et cetera. So I, you know, I had my hand over the receiver of the phone. And she told me this. And so then I said, well, you know what? I've rethought that. And sure, I'll come down and help you out. He was down in San Diego. And I said, sure, I'll come down and help you out, you know, a couple of months, whatever, till I figure out what it is I'm going to do. And he said, okay, great. Come on down Monday. We'll, you know, sign your W-2 or whatever and get things going. So I went down there. Well, actually, it was 2 weeks later. So I went down there. That guy was Carl Keating. And the organization that he had transitioned from about 10 years worth of kind of part-time doing the apologetics on the side to starting a full-time company with an office, etc., it was Catholic Answers. This was late 1987. So by early January, as I recall, of 1988, I'm now working at Catholic Answers. And I'm like the only other guy. It was Carl, and there was another gentleman who became a close friend of mine, Charlie Harvey, may he rest in peace. And he was like involved with the shipping and receiving and whatnot. And I was brought on. I was like the third guy. I came on, and my job was to do things like write articles, and soon enough started to do speaking at parishes, and it just kind of took off from there. But that was it. That was the humble beginnings of Catholic Answers, and Carl invited me to participate. And it wasn't, Cyrus, I'm not joking, it wasn't for probably, I don't know, 2-3 months before it finally sank into my brain, this is what God was calling me to do. I completely missed it. And I even turned it down when Carl first offered me this position. But it completely changed my life. Completely. I don't even know what I would have been doing if he hadn't called me. Now, was that divine providence? Was that God speaking? Yes. Although I was deaf to it at the time. Now, when we returned from this break, there were two more phone calls that dramatically changed my life. It's interesting how these all had to do with phone calls. That was the first one, when Carl Keating, by God's grace, gave me a call, changed my life forever and for the better. And when we come back, I'll tell you what the two other phone calls were that led to me being here in the microphone talking to you right now. And if those two phone calls hadn't happened, I wouldn't be here. I don't know what I would be doing. And I'll tell you what that is on the other side of this quick break.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
The Patrick Madrid Show.
It's a household name.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio lines, is hiring today. Several positions available throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Well, you can't tell.
Right.
Now, why would I be playing this, Patrick?
Let me think. I'm trying to think.
I'm going to give you a hint. On this day in history.
Oh, did this movie come out on this day in history?
This movie came out December 14th, 1977.
No way.
Can you believe it's that long ago?
Wow. I was a senior in high school.
This
is a bad movie. By the way, this is a bad movie. Staying Alive is not a good movie.
But it catapulted Travolta into stardom. And did the disco era start with this movie, or was it already in full swing?
It was already in full swing. So, like, Do the Hustle by whatever one-hit wonder band that was. That came out 73, 74, something like that. So disco was already in full swing. But this gave it a... This was a shot of adrenaline to the disco world.
It's Gene Siskel's favorite movie ever.
It's a bad movie. It's an immoral movie. I mean, it's a moral tale. It's a cautionary tale, but I can't even believe I saw that movie. But I did see the movie.
I have a confession. I've never seen it.
Well, let me just put it this way. Don't take your children to see that movie.
I'm not going to take myself to go see it.
Don't see it. It's just a bad movie. Anywho, but now I get it. Now I see why you said that, or you played that.
So I should play disco music for the rest of the day? That's what you're telling me?
No, you should not do that.
Okay, disco, you got it. Disco music rest of the day.
I have ways of retaliating.
Okay, no more
disco. So if you want to take that chance,
nope.
It's up to you.
No more disco music. It's been settled.
All right, thank you. Now then. It seems to me I was talking about some phone calls that changed my life. So just to recap, if you're tuning in, I got a call from Carl Keating, a guy that I knew, didn't know him well, but I knew him well enough. And I had given 2 weeks' notice of a job that I was doing pretty well in, but I realized God wanted me to do something else with my life. And the very next day he called and offered me the opportunity to come work at Catholic Answers, which he had just started as a full-time endeavor. It had been a part-time business for him for like 10 years before that, roughly. So that was the first call. So then for the next 8 great years, I worked at Catholic Answers. And I had a marvelous time. I'm a proud alumnus of Catholic Answers. One of the very first, well, I was like the second person hired technically. So I worked there for 8 years, long before any of the really big things that they do now, before they did that. I was there before Catholic.com was even a thing. In fact, I was at one of our weekly meetings. We would have these Tuesday weekly meetings of the staff, and that's when Carl announced that there's this thing called the internet that was coming and websites, and I had never heard any of this. None of us had. And he said, I put in a bid for Catholic.com. We'll see what happens. And he put it in early enough that he got it. Well, the company got it. So it was that long ago. Anyway, so long story short, I had 8 great years working at Catholic Answers, completely changed my life. And this is all based upon an email that someone sent me this morning, Sharon, or yesterday, I guess, asking, how do you hear God's voice? And I was trying to share with her, because she asked me, in your own experience, how do you hear God's voice? So that's why I'm giving you this explanation. So fast forward 8 years, by the time my oldest son went off to like a Catholic boys prep school, I had this feeling that, well, I don't want to wake up someday when I'm an old man full of regrets that I didn't spend more time with my children. Because at that time at Catholic Answers, I was hustling all over the country. I was doing speaking engagements everywhere. And so I was gone a lot. And when I wasn't gone doing that, I was at the office. So I just had this pang, like I really feel as though I need to be available more to my kids because I don't want to have regrets later in life. And so that was probably the biggest driving factor in my decision to leave Catholic Answers and to go on my own. So I knew that on my own, as an author, my first book had come out. So as an author, that would bring in some revenue to feed the family, and I could do public speaking, and that would help. And about, I don't know, 6-8 months later, I started with the help of a friend. We co-founded the Envoy Institute, as it's known now. The first big thing we did was Envoy Magazine. Some of you may remember that. We published that for about 15 years or so. But in any case, so that's what I was doing. I'm thinking, okay, well, this is what I'm called to do. Well, fast forward several more years, and this would be now back around, I'd have to go back and do the math, but I think it would be around 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. And I get a call from one of my buddies named Marcus Grody. And by now I'm living in Ohio, and he's not a near neighbor, but he's a near enough neighbor, about half an hour away from where I live. And so we would see each other from time to time and hang out. And we were old friends. So he calls me up. He says, hey, you know, what are you doing on Thursday afternoons? And I said, well, like this Thursday? He said, no, just Thursday afternoons in general. What are you doing? I said, well, not much of anything unless I'm traveling, but I typically don't travel on Thursday. He said, well, I've got a proposition for you. He says, I do a weekly radio program on, you know, a big national network, EWTN, and I have the Thursday edition of a radio program. It's a call-in program. People call in, they ask questions. And I am now going to do a different radio program, and so I don't want to do both. And so they asked me to find my replacement, and I thought of you. Would you like to take over my show? And I thought, why not? What the heck? And so like that next Thursday, I went over to, he has a studio in the Coming Home Network offices. So I went over there and I did the show with him, the two of us together. And then like the very next Thursday, I was doing the show every Thursday for an hour. And it was a lot of fun. And I thought, oh, this is a lark, you know. They pay me some money to do this, but it's not like my focus of my work. And I never thought I would be like doing the radio show in any significant way or for any length of time. So for me, it was kind of fun, and it was another outlet for me to share with people and whatnot. And if Marcus Grody hadn't called me and asked me, that position would have gone to somebody else. And I never would have done that show. Well, here's how things begin to kind of telescope. So I did that show for 6 years. Every Thursday, I'm at the microphone. I'm answering questions. And I'm still doing all the other stuff that I was doing, like traveling and speaking at universities and conferences and things, and writing books and all of that. But I was doing this radio show, not really thinking that it was much of anything. So then after 6 years of doing that, I get a phone call from a man named Doug Sherman. And I had known Doug Sherman because his son had gone to the seminary that one of my sons was at for a while. None of my sons became priests, but that's how we knew each other. And he had started Immaculate Heart Radio, which was originally intended to be one station. And I think it was in the Reno area, if I'm not mistaken. And he planned to do one and leave it at that to kind of serve the area. But then it really took off, and before he realized it, this thing was getting big. So Immaculate Heart Radio had grown to something like, I don't know, 30 stations, and this was all out west. And they were about to acquire a big station, the 93KHJ station in Los Angeles. So one day, and Nancy and I are out running errands, and I'll never forget. I'd never forget where I was and what happened. So out of the blue, Doug calls me up. Hey, you got a few minutes? Sure. And he said, well, you know, I've got this Immaculate Heart Radio network, and we are really invested in tracking the results of the programming. And he said, we've been tracking your Thursday edition program for, you know, the last year or two. And he said that there's a spike every Thursday. You know, the ratings are like this and like this and like this. And all of a sudden on Thursday, they shoot way up and then they come back down again. And he said, we wanted to give it enough time to make sure this wasn't like a fluke or anything. But historically, we can see now that this is a very strong show. And we would like to have you come and do a daily show for us. And I said, a daily show? I mean, that's a commitment, Monday through Friday. So we talked about it and we talked about it and we talked about it. And they made me an offer and they hired me for Immaculate Heart Radio to do a 1 hour a day show, which was the genesis of the program that I do now. It had a different name, but it was the same show, and it was for 1 hour every afternoon, called Right Here, Right Now. So if he hadn't called me, if they hadn't done the tracking, if they hadn't followed the ratings and all that, they did focus groups. They paid lots of money to have focus group people come in, and for the better part of a day, they would play selections from different radio shows. And you may have seen this done before, where the person's holding like a little handset that's got a dial on it, and they're supposed to dial it, I guess, to the right, the more they like something, or dial it to the left, the less they like something. So what they told me is, you know, your show is like off the charts. People really like it, and we would like to do this an hour a day. So whatever you're doing, whatever this thing is you do, do that and do it an hour a day. So I did that. And then it was, this is so good that we want it to be 3 hours a day. Really? Yeah, we'd like to go 3 hours a day. And so after a year or two of doing that other show that way, then it switched to the show that you hear now. And really, it's the same show. And it's just now 3 hours and it moved to a different time of the day. So that's where things stood. And then, of course, the merger took place with Relevant Radio. And then we went from being on, in, say, like 30 markets in the West. Suddenly now we're in now over 200 markets all around the country. And this is one reason why I pinch myself and I think, how can this be? I mean, there's so many people who are more intelligent, they're more virtuous, you know, more talented, who could be doing this. Why do I get to do this? I don't know, but thank you, Lord. So all of that to say, in response to your question, Sharon, I didn't realize these big, momentous changes in my life until afterward. I didn't really perceive that God was speaking to me in these moments, but I did later. And as I think about it, if Carl Keating hadn't called me that Saturday morning, and by the way, in those days, we didn't have an answering machine. There was no voicemail or anything like that. He could just as easily have called when we were out doing something, and I never would have known, and he would have no way to leave a message, and maybe he never would have called back, and I never would have gotten that call. That is entirely possible. The other thing, too, is why did he think to call me? I mean, is it a fluke? I don't know. I don't think so. So that call changed my life. And then everything that I did at Catholic Answers and all the things that took place after that in the interim, all of those things were helping me prepare for when Marcus Grodi called. Why did he call me? He could have called 50 other people. He could have called Ken Hensley. He could have called Scott Hahn. He could have called anybody. But he called me. He says, I think you would be the right guy for this job. So, okay, let's do it. If he hadn't called me, I would never have been on the radio. Doug Sherman never would have heard my voice on the radio anyway. They never would have tracked anything. They never would have looked at the ratings or anything. He never would have called me. I wouldn't be here talking to you today. So for me, that's how I hear God's voice. I say to the Lord, if this is what you think I should do, Lord, if this is what I think I should do, if you agree, then I'll try to do it. If the door's open, then I'll keep walking until the doors close. And as I look back on my life and I marvel at how God's presence and his guiding hand has been every step of the way. I offer you this for your own consideration. We're going to take a break. Maybe you're in one of those parts of your life right now where nothing seems to make sense. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? How do I get out of this? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Maybe you have those anxieties or dreams of things that you'd like to do. Or fears, you know, if I don't do this, I won't eat, or if I do that, You know what I'm saying? We all have those. So my advice would be, and again, just from my own measly experience, for whatever it's worth, try that way of listening to God's voice in your life. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll walk in that direction until you stop me. And I will interpret closed doors as, you know, I'll be persistent and I'll push on it a few times, but if the door stays closed, I'll know. If it stays closed, then I will know that you're saying no. And if you aren't saying no, then please show me. Try it. And don't be afraid. This is the other thing too. I'll leave you with this. We have to take a break. Don't be afraid to strike out into the unknown or put out into the deep, as Jesus said to the apostles. Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. Put out into the deep, he says. All right. They're tired. They're hungry. You know, they failed to catch much of anything. So they do what Jesus says. And what happens? They catch so much fish that the nets were ripping and the boat was in danger of sinking. That's how much fish they had, because they trusted Jesus and they went out into the deep. So try that sometime. I have a feeling you'll be happily surprised by what happens. Be right back.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149.
Yeah.
That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
Yeah.
Relevant Radio.
All right. Let's do this thing. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. How about Kip in Easton, PA? Hi, Kip.
Hey, Patrick. I wanted to just tag on to what you were laying out for the woman who doesn't hear God's voice. Yeah. You know, if she can look back and say, well, how did I start listening to Relevant Radio? What inspired me to do that? Out of all the millions of people who are listening to you around the world, her email, I think it was, her email is one that got your attention. And you spent a great amount of time explaining to her how to hear God's voice, sometimes, like you said, in the rearview mirror. So even though she may not hear the words in her ears, I would say he's definitely talking to her, and she should keep listening, not only for God's voice, but also to Relevant Radio.
That's really thoughtful of you to say so, Kip, and I agree with you. You're like I am, because you look at things like this and say, I guess I'm putting words in your mouth. This is not coincidence. God's providence is unfolding all the time. And even though people like me don't really get it, I don't understand it when it's happening, and I do afterward, as you just said, I like the fact that you're tying it into Relevant Radio, because this is God's providence on a grand scale. You know, like you say, who knows how many millions of people and their lives are changed seemingly in a random or coincidental way, but it's part of God's plan that on this day, at this time, in this car, stuck in this traffic, you're going to hear something on Relevant Radio. It's going to change your life.
Do you have time for a question on something
Absolutely.
Else? Wonderful.
Sure.
So I have daughters, and one of my daughters, who used to go to the Catholic Church, she told me that she had been visited in the middle of the night by an angel that must have stood about 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And he told her that what God wants from her is to get away from that evil Catholic Church and seek him in the Bible. And it went on and on for a while, and I won't bore you with all the details, but how would I approach this? Because it was so real for her, and she immediately did what she was told, and now she goes to a megachurch out in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help get her back.
Yeah. Oh, as a father, I can imagine the heartbreak that you feel. Well, maybe you can point out to her, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, for even Satan, he says, disguises himself as an angel of light. So that's the first thing. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 is the particular one. So we have to be attentive to the fact, and I know you know this, but if I were talking with her, I would say this, you know, you have to be attentive to the fact that not everything that appears to you as good is good. And one way to find out if something is truly good is this entity, is this phenomenon, this voice, whatever it is this telling you to do something good or bad? And obviously the Holy Spirit, God, is not going to send an angel to tell somebody to leave the church that Jesus established. And I realize that she said, she may say, well, I don't know, if I don't think Jesus established the Catholic Church. And you could say, well, before you leave, why don't you find out? Why don't you take a look at the evidence? I realize that she's gone now, but to draw her back can involve, you know, maybe giving her books like Surprised by Truth, where people who are in the world that she's in now realize that's not what Jesus started. He didn't start non-denominational Christianity. He started the Catholic Church, and they wound up becoming Catholic. So that's one option. Maybe give her a copy of that Surprised by Truth book, which you can buy, you know, for peanuts, a used copy. I'm not trying to sell you a book, is what I'm saying. If you could get her to start listening to this program, perhaps, or you could ply her with, if you go to our YouTube channel, Kip, we've got lots and lots and lots of segments from the show by topic, and maybe there's something in there about Mary or the Eucharist or something, and just send her the link, and chances are she'll listen to it or watch it. I mean, that's another way. Keep talking to her. Obviously, I know that you love her, and that she knows that you love her, so she recognizes that you're not an angry dad or anything like that. You just care about her, and you want her to know the truth. But I would point that out. You know, the whole idea of Satan disguising himself as an angel of light and introduce that doubt into her mind to say, you may well have been visited by an angel, but not a good one. Because the message that you got is not a good and true message. The Holy Spirit is not a God of confusion. He's not going to lead you away from the truth.
How's excellent. Patrick, always helpful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to you and Nancy and the family.
Thank you. And likewise to you and yours as well. Appreciate that. You know, I'm thinking also in relation to what Kip was saying a minute ago about how not only how the devil can and does try to appear to us as an angel of light, but St. Paul also says, even if an angel were to appear to you and tell you to do something other than what we have preached to you, you know, the gospel, ignore him. You know, don't be, here's what he says. This is Galatians chapter 1. I'll just read it to you instead of paraphrasing it. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. So this is yet another example in Scripture where just because an angel appears to you, whether it's really an angel or it's your own imagination, hard to tell sometimes, this is how you test it. You know, the acid test is the message that's given here consistent with what I know to be true. And if it's not, then you're dealing with something that's not a good angel. Some of the great saints had to go through this as well. St. Teresa of Avila, for example, and others who wrote about their own mystical experiences when they would have visions of like Jesus appearing to them or Mary appearing to them and telling them, do thus and so. And something about it didn't seem quite right. And wow, Jesus is appearing to me, but he's saying something that doesn't sound quite right. And so these saints would bring this up in confession. Father, what do you think? And as I recall the stories, you know, it would say something like, if this is an angel who's appearing to you, or if it's the Blessed Virgin Mary who seems to be appearing to you, ask this entity to say, praise be Jesus Christ, or something like that. And the next time it would happen, they would do that. And then suddenly, poof, sulfur and smoke, because it was really just a demon trying to impersonate. as they sometimes try to do. So factor that in, I guess, is my bottom line message. Let's go to Fred in Brooklyn. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Patrick. When we pray before a nativity scene or a crucifix, it's like these things are happening now. Isn't there a terminology, a word demonstrates that condition? For example, mm-hmm. we're praying before a nativity scene. This happened 2,000 years ago, but yeah. it's the now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is there a terminology for that? I'm sure there is.
Well, I'm not sure if the church herself has a term that, let's say, like the spiritual masters would use. The term visualization comes to mind. I don't know that that's in any way a technical term. But to make present in a depiction, like a statue, like a nativity scene, for example, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he talked a lot about this in his spiritual writings, and this is a big part of his spiritual exercises and the Ignatian way of praying. And that involves visualizing yourself at some juncture in the life of Jesus, for example. So in the agony in the garden, imagine you're there, he says. Picture yourself sitting or kneeling or sleeping, as the apostles were doing, as Jesus is right there praying and preparing for his passion. Or imagine yourself at the foot of the cross. So this is a definite part of the Ignatian way of praying, and maybe that might be what you're kind of catching a glimmer of. Could it be that, maybe?
Yes, but I'm sure there is a terminology for that. I think I heard Father Rochelle say it once, but I can't recall the word, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I'll keep thinking, and if something comes to mind,
okay.
And if you find it, whatever it may be, give me a call back and let me know.
Okay. Patrick, just one more thing.
Okay.
Please.
Sure.
Do you know which Eastern Church father said not to eat processed food? Do you know which?
No.
Because I tried to check it out in the computer, and it doesn't give it, but it's true. There is one who did say, stay away from processed food.
Here's why I tend to doubt that that's legitimate or authentic, because processed food as we know it, the way we know it, didn't exist during the time of the church fathers. So it's reckoned that St. John Damascene, who was in the 700s, that he was the last of the church fathers. So the patristic era ends, and they didn't have processed food in the 700s.
I think what he meant by that was the bread. You know, they would eat the whole wheat bread, you know, made from whole wheat flour, and then it was made white, and it was tastier. I think that's what he's referring to when he says stay away from processed food. Yeah, I think so. But anyway, thank you so much for your answer, and a blessed Christmas to you and your family, and God bless your work. And the baby
Thank
Jesus,
you.
The now, may the baby Jesus bless your heart. Okay?
Thank
Have
you,
a
Fred.
Beautiful Christmas. Bye-bye.
Kind of you. Thank you. Well, that's nice. That's a nice way to wrap up the first hour. I won't go to another call now because, yes, I know a man's got to know his limitations. Where have I heard that before? But we will be coming back to more of your phone calls on the other side of this timeout. This would be a good time to freshen up your cup of coffee. If you want to send me an email, just go over to relevantradio.com/Patrick. You can send me a note there. Just click on connect and you can send that to me. I'm going to share with you an email from Kevin when we come back. And the essence of his email is, I feel like I have an evil presence inside me. I don't know what to do. And I'll offer some thoughts about that. Now, hopefully that doesn't describe you or your situation, but perhaps you know somebody and you think, I wonder if there's some malevolent influence going on in that person's life. Well, I'll share with you some suggestions on what you can do right after this. Please stay right there.
Follow Patrick on Twitter @PatrickMadrid.